Welcome to 15 Minutes in the Word with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series, Keys to Loving Your Journey. In John 10:10, Jesus tells us that he came and died for us so that we can have and enjoy our life to the fullest until it overflows. So life is a journey and we only get one chance to live it. Why then should we choose to make it through, just endure, or worse, hate the life we're living? Today, Joyce will share how through following the Holy Spirit, we can learn to love every step of the journey with Him. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching.
Now, let me just throw this in. I don't plan to spend a lot of time on this weekend because I've done full entire seminars on this. But I do want to say that it's pretty much useless for me to tell you to go out and love anybody else if you're not going to love yourself first. Simply because you can't give away what you don't have, and neither can I. If I don't have any peace in me, I can't give peace to anybody else. Jesus was able to speak peace to the storms because he was filled with peace. Amen? And so I wanted to love people. I would hear the message about love, and I wanted to. And I was so cranky and hard to get along with and impatient and all the things that love is not. That's what I was. And I didn't know why. And over many years, God taught me that I couldn't give away what I didn't have. I didn't like myself. I had a war going on within myself that was left over from the shame of my past. And until I got that resolved through receiving the love of God, I didn't have any love that I could give away. So if you still don't like yourself and you've got a private war going on with yourself, whether you're in this building tonight or watching by TV, let me say it again. If you've got a war going on with you, you live under condemnation all the time, you're ashamed of the who that you are, and you just plain don't like yourself, then you need to just tuck this message on love away. Don't get rid of it. Tuck it away over here somewhere and then get a hold of some good teaching. I've got some. Other people have got some about accepting yourself because of what Christ has done for you, learning who you are in Christ. Get a good relationship with yourself, a good relationship with God, and now you're ready to go out and attack the world with the love of God. Amen? I didn't tell you to be in love with yourself. I didn't say to be selfish and self-centered, but love yourself, value yourself, take care of yourself, make an investment in yourself, get the proper rest that you need, have some fun in life. Living a self-sacrificing life doesn't mean that that's all you do is things for other people and you never do anything for yourself. Trust me, if you don't take care of yourself, you'll end up burning out and you won't have anything to give away to anybody. And then, of course, Jesus said in John 12, 34 and 35, one new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. By this love, this is so wonderful, by this love shall all men know. How simple can it get? One new commandment I give unto you. And you know what? There's a lot of stuff to learn to really be a powerful Christian. I've got thousands of messages that I've preached. And they're all vital, and they're all good. But you know, some days when I just feel like, you know, man, Lord, I don't know if I'm doing it all. You know, there's this message, and this one, and that one, another one, another one. I just center back to walk in love. If you just walk in love, you're going to cover all the rest of them. Amen? Love God. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That just keeps it simple for me. So for the last good number of years in my life, I have tried to focus more than anything else in my personal life on loving people and everybody that I get around in my personal life, because believe it or not, I don't live in the little box. I do have a personal life. They let me out of the TV screen occasionally. People are amazed when they see me somewhere. It's like I'm not supposed to be anywhere but in that box. But I do have a personal life. And in my personal life, I try to make it my business to add value to everybody that I come across. And I'll tell you the truth, in the natural, I'm not a real outgoing, friendly person. I mean, I'd much rather stand in front of a crowd of a million people than try to get to know one person. I'm not afraid of people, but I'm just, you know, that's just the way I am. I'm not like a sanguine, real friendly. I mean, we go out to eat and, I mean, Dave is talking to the waitress about where do you go to school and what are you taking in school and where'd you come from? What are you going to do with your life? And I'm like, Dave, can we order the food, eat it, and get out of here? And he's like, well, I just want to be friendly. And I'm telling you what, the Mike, the pastor that was up here, he can get on an elevator and by the time he gets off, have a friend. So I'm just letting you know that it doesn't have to be your natural gift. That's not, you know, I would probably, my natural bent would be to go out in society, go shopping, do my stuff, just not say much to anybody, just do what I wanted to do, get the job done, get it over with, and go back home. But I have learned that I can affect people's lives just by being friendly. So I've learned to do that. And I'm trying to let you know that even though something may not be a real natural gift for you, if it's something that God leads us to do, we can learn to do it. Amen? 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 Now, all you people that were born friendly, you're just like all over this. And some of you deeper people are like, well, I don't know if I really want to get involved or not. I'm not asking you to get involved. Say hello. How are you? How's your day? That color looks good on you. Your hair looks nice. You know, just simple little things. It's amazing how just a simple little adding value to someone's life can make a big difference. Let me read you a story that I pulled off the web, and this just gives you a good example of what love is and how little things can just make an unbelievable difference in people's lives. This is by a man named Kent Nerburn, just to give credit where credit is due. 20 years ago, I drove a cab for a living. One time, I arrived in the middle of the night to pick someone up that was dark except for one single light on the ground floor window. Under these circumstances, many drivers would just sit outside and honk once or twice, wait a minute, and then drive away if nobody came out. But I had seen too many impoverished people who depended on taxis as their only means of transportation. So unless a situation really smelled of danger, I would always go to the door. The passenger might be someone who needed my assistance, I reasoned to myself, so I walked to the door and knocked. Just a minute, I heard from a frail, elderly voice. I could hear something being dragged across the floor, and after a long pause, the door opened, and I saw a woman in her 80s, standing before me, wearing a print dress and a little pillbox hat with a veil pinned on it. She looked like something out of a 1940s movie. And by her side was a small nylon suitcase. Well, the apartment actually looked as if no one had lived in it for years. The furniture was all covered with sheets. There were no clocks on the walls, no knickknacks or utensils. Everything was in a cardboard box piled over in the corner. She said to me, "Would you mind to carry my bag out to the car?" So I took the suitcase to the cab. Then I returned to assist the woman. She took my arm and we walked slowly toward the curb, and she kept thanking me over and over for my kindness. "It's nothing," I told her. "I just try to treat my passengers the way I would want my mother to be treated." "Oh, you're such a good boy," she said. When we got in the cab, she gave me an address and then said, "Would you mind to drive through downtown?" "Well, I don't mind," I said. "I'm not in a big hurry, but it is not the shortest way," indicating to her it was going to cost her more money if she went the long way. And she said, "Oh, I don't mind. I'm on my way to a hospice." I looked in the rearview mirror and her eyes had tears in them. "You see, I don't have any family left, and the doctor says I don't have very long to live." I quietly reached over and shut off the meter. That was the first act of love, wasn't it? This is not somebody I need to make money off of. This is somebody I need to help. "What route would you like me to take?" I asked. For the next 2 hours, we drove around the city. She showed me the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had gone dancing as a girl. Sometimes she'd ask me to slow down in front of a particular building or a corner and would just sit there and stare at the building and say absolutely nothing. The sun was coming up and she suddenly said, "Well, I'm tired. We better go now." I drove in silence to the address she had given me. It was a low building that looked like a small convalescent home. They must have been expecting her because two men came out ready to help her get into the building with a wheelchair. "How much do I owe you?" she asked and reached into her purse. I said, "Nothing." She said, "Well, no, you have to make a living." And he said, "There are other passengers that I can make a living off of." Almost without thinking, I bent over and gave her a hug, and she held onto me so tightly. She said, "You gave an old woman a little moment of joy. Thank you." I squeezed her hand, walked into the dim morning light. I didn't go back to work that day. I just drove aimlessly around, lost in thought for the rest of the day. What if that woman had gotten an angry driver or one who was impatient to end his shift? What if I'd refused to take the run or I'd only honked once and then driven away? And this is the part I love. On a quick review, I don't think that I've ever done anything more important in my life than that one single act. We're conditioned to think that our lives revolve around great moments, but great moments often catch us unaware, beautifully wrapped in what others might consider a small one. Let me tell you something. What I'm talking to you about tonight, yeah. Amen. What I'm talking to all of us about tonight, and you know, if there's anybody in the room who thinks you don't need this, you can throw your share back at me because I'd just be happy to preach this to myself. I need this. Every time I teach on love, every time I restudy on love, it builds me up and reminds me that this really is one of the most important things that we can possibly do in our lives. And it's not always in big things. Many times it is in small little things, like smiling at somebody or saying hello or telling somebody, you know, "I've noticed that you've been here for several years. I bet you really work hard." You know, one day I was in a bathroom and I noticed a lady in there emptying the trash, and I'd seen her a few times. And so I took some money out of my purse and gave it to her. And I just said, "You know, I'm sure that you really work hard, and a lot of times you don't really get, you know, the appreciation that you need." I shoved the money in her hand and just took off. A little bit later, she came chasing me into the shoe department, telling me how much it meant to her and how it was just so amazing. And you know what? People are hurting in the world. And they're hurting a lot worse than you think you are. There's always somebody, no matter how bad we're hurting or no matter how bad we've got it, there's always somebody that's got it worse than we do and somebody that's hurting worse than we do. And just for the sake of God, we need to get out in the world and act like Jesus. How would Jesus treat these people as he came into contact with them? You know, we always talk about following in Jesus' steps. Well, sometimes we need to study his stops, because Jesus always stopped for hurting people. It wasn't just, yes, he was going somewhere and he had a goal, but when somebody really needed help, he was always there to help him. And you know, a lot of that is lacking in our society today, and nobody's going to bring it back if the Christians don't. So we need to stop just yelling about our Christianity and get out there and live it so people can see that we've got something that's worth having.
Thanks for listening. It's exciting that Jesus has given us a full life. In reality, though, we may struggle to actually enjoy it. We may spend more time upset with the obstacles or focused on the negatives. Instead of wasting effort with these distractions, let's allow the Holy Spirit's leading to show us how we can adjust our perspectives and have Jesus be the center of everything we do. It is time to love the journey. So remember, God loves us and has a better plan for us than anything we could ever imagine. For more resources from Joyce, visit joycemeyer.org.
The Bible, our instruction book for life. Spending time in God's Word will change our lives, but consistent and effective study can at times be challenging. That's one reason why Joyce is here to help. At joycemeyer.org/Bible study, you'll find ways to make your study time come to life with helpful resources, study suggestions, and encouragement from Joyce. Get the most you can out of your time studying God's Word with everyday study. Sign up today at joycemeyer.org/Bible study.
Thank you for listening to 15 Minutes in the Word with Joyce.